all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Oh, and it is a beautiful day up here on Lake Wissota. So welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Friday, April 7th. It's Easter weekend, and coming up this hour, more proof that your vote matters. Moving beyond the races that got more coverage this week, we take a look broadly at the dozens of school referendums that were on Tuesday's ballot, and how we noticed the difference between success and failure came down to just a handful of votes. So we just want to make that case. We want to prove that point again and again, that your vote can make a difference, whether it's in a big race like state Supreme Court or something very close to home affecting the education of our kids. We'll also talk to Mark Jacob at the bottom of the hour about how national media covered the arrest and arraignment of former President Donald Trump. And then Dan Schumacher near the end of the show will help us talk sports. The Brewers were off to yesterday because they're back in action today. They start a three-game series against the St. Louis Cardinals at American Family Field tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. The Bucks wrap up their regular season over the weekend. They're at home tonight. They're on the road Sunday, and then the playoffs will follow soon thereafter. Aaron, we forgot to give away the Brewers tickets last hour. We have to fix this. We have to rectify this. And it turns out, did you discover more tickets that were over there?
I sure did. I dug around and sifted through the trash and found four more.
No, they weren't. They weren't in the trash, and they weren't really tickets because we email them to you. But we have the ability to email you tickets in a couple of different ways. We have two tickets available for tonight's game against the St. Louis Cardinals. 7:10 is the first pitch. And so this is probably more for you folks listening at WAUK or maybe up in Oshkosh or Madison and maybe even Green Bay. But I doubt that folks listening up in Amory or Wausau are necessarily going to change their plans to come down for a game tonight, but you might. So we've got two tickets for tonight's game. And then we've got a family pack of four tickets for Sunday's game. Where did my handy baseball schedule go?
It's 1:10 p.m. is when it starts.
1:10. Here we go. Oh, hang on. There it is. It is. I'm only going to confirm it if I see it on paper, Aaron. 1:10 on Sunday. Okay, so here we go. Two for tonight, four for Sunday. So now everybody across the state might want to think about this. So here's what we're going to do. Phone lines are open, 844-967-2789. All you got to do to get the tickets is call in. Tell us if you want the two for tonight or the four for tomorrow, but then you got to come on the radio with me and you just got to tell me your definition of where Up North begins. I have my line. Those of you who've listened in the past can tell me, you can just suck up to the host and tell me where you think Up North begins based on what I told you, but maybe you have your own definition of a particular highway or a city that signifies Up North. So if you call in at 844-967-2789 at some point this hour and tell us where Up North begins in your mind, you get to pick if they're both available, if you want the two tickets for tonight or the family pack of four tickets for Sunday. So one more time, 844-967-2789. We're going to have a weather forecast update from weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki coming up in just a bit. We're going to look at the close referendums that we've seen around the state. That's coming up as well. And just as well as I look at some of the other news that's going on, we talked quite a bit in the last hour about the things that are happening at the state level. And I mean, they are, especially in Tennessee, it is just amazingly unseemly. But I want to turn toward a positive version of that for just a moment. Just to again say that the young people who have marched, the young people who have voted, I again would take you back to the line, the video of the line of voters at UW-Eau Claire that we saw this week. I don't think that's a one and done. And I think that what happened in Tennessee yesterday only cements what we've seen from younger voters, that unlike, my generation, which is very early Gen X, I think these folks are sticking around when it comes to voting. And so let's hope that's the case. We're going to do whatever we can to encourage them. But now let's take a quick moment here, see if folks have called in. I think we've got Bob. Bob called in first, looking for tickets here. Bob, where are you located?
I'm located on Wisconsin's East Coast, currently in Milwaukee.
Okay. Always good to hear from an East Coaster. How are you this morning?
Terrific.
Oh, that's great. Okay. I sense you're probably calling in for the tickets either for tonight's game or Sunday's game. Did my psychic powers work?
Your psychic powers worked. I'm into doing things today, not on Sunday.
Okay, well, I got two tickets for tonight's game, and I just want to know from every person, from somebody on the east coast of Wisconsin, where does up north begin for you?
Well, it's changed. I grew up in Sturgeon Bay.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I express myself as Wisconsin's east coast, because it's all up and down from Kenosha to Door County.
Okay.
My life is lived.
All right. So anything north of Sturgeon Bay, does that work for you?
That sort of starts.
Okay.
North of Highway 29 was a...
Perfect. 29 is the correct answer. I got to give away two more here, Bob, so you hang on the line and we'll get your email address. Let's put Dana on really quick here. Dana, I've got about 10 seconds. We've got the four-pack for Sunday. Do you want them?
Awesome, yes. That'd be
Dana,
great.
Just tell me where up north begins in 5 seconds or less.
Portage, Wisconsin.
That works for me. All right. You've got tickets for Sunday. Thanks, everybody, for calling in. Let's take a break and talk about how much your vote matters. Dana, hang on the line. We'll be back. You're up north. Question has to be asked, will you be there the next time there's an election, whether you're a Gen Z voter or somebody who cares about a local school referendum? I think the numbers bear out some reasons to be optimistic about future elections and also about the critical role that every voter can play. We will talk about that more in just a minute. But first, as we do this time every morning, we talk to Jennifer Vachitsky, meteorologist with Weatherology. We have an Easter weekend ahead of us, and then we truly tumble headlong into spring for good, I hope. I have my fingers crossed. I feel really good about this forecast. Jennifer, good morning. How are you?
Doing pretty well, thanks. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Getting ready for a very full house here for Easter. We're hosting both sides of the family, and so it's going to be. It started getting loud last night. The one daughter with the 3-year-old and the 1-year-old showed up late last night, and so there was some late night playing of toys. I didn't step on any of them at 5 o'clock this morning, so that's a win for me. So it's going to be a great weekend. I hope you have a fun one planned as well. And so, what are we looking like weather wise for it?
Yeah, like you said, it's actually going to be, for the most part, a pretty decent weekend here. Today, we're looking at warmer overall for most of the day as a warm front begins to push through. Looks like cloudy or becoming cloudy for the southern parts of the state up to Wisconsin Rapids. Sunny for the day in Wausau over to Amory and Baldwin. Richland Center down to Madison over to Milwaukee. Looks like a dry weekend ahead. Warmer weather as well, getting into the 60s for most, a little cooler by the lakefront. Nothing too thrilling for those areas here for the rest of the weekend, but it's going to be a really decent weekend for the holiday. Chance for some rain and snow mix turning to snow tonight from Oshkosh over to Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids. Looking at about maybe 1 to 3 inches of snow accumulating possible, then a chance for rain and snow mix for those areas tomorrow morning before becoming all rain through the early afternoon hours, warmer as well, then dry and even warmer on Sunday, upper 50s into the 60s. And the western parts of the state, Baldwin and Amory, chance for some rain tonight, but then a dry Saturday with sunshine and highs in the upper 50s, lingering around 60 for Sunday with some cloud cover coming in and just a slight chance for an isolated rain shower in the afternoon. Nothing thrilling with that. Beyond that, though, looks like warming trend continues into at least the first part of the work week, Monday and Tuesday. So even beyond this weekend, definitely some weather to look forward to.
Oh, most definitely. So we appreciate that so much, Jennifer. Do you have a big weekend plans?
Oh, I'm working on Sunday, so I'll be keeping everyone up to date on the forecast.
That is essential. We need that very much, Jennifer. Thank you so much. Have
Absolutely.
A great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Jennifer Wojcicki from Weatherology. All right, let's talk about Tuesday's election at the local level, because as we mentioned, there were dozens of referendums put out by school districts. Let's talk about the types of them. Let's talk about some of the results and the difference that you can make. But in doing so, I also want to ask, in terms of elections, the call of the day that I'd like you to make is, what will the Republican Party look like 2 years from now? Will they have learned lessons from these past elections? Will they attempt to look like they are moderating their positions? Will they double down and still become even more extreme and become perhaps more of a minority party? Will the Republican Party be entirely fractured in 2024? What are we going to say 2 years from now, after the presidential election, after the election for Tammy Baldwin running, we hope, for a third term? If you have thoughts on that, you can call us at 844-967-2789 and 715-388-7155. All right, dozens of school referenda, ranging in all types. The biggest one was a $100 million school referendum in Marshfield, which was going to make all kinds of building and facility improvements. It failed, and it failed rather handily. A little over 5,000 people voting no, about 4,000 people voting yes. That $100 million referendum did not pass. Next highest on the list in terms of dollar amounts is from the Manitowoc School District. Now, this one was not for construction. This was to simply exceed state revenue limits or state taxing limits so that they could fund, regular operations. Could they exceed the revenue cap in terms of, property taxes? It totaled nearly $62 million. And folks in Manitowoc, said yes. But they said yes by fewer than 500 votes, about 5,700 to 5,200, and that matter passed. In La Crosse, similarly, about $60 million in exceeding revenue limits over a six-year period, that passed almost by a 2-to-1 margin. So that one worked out very well. But say in Wautoma, which was looking for general obligation bonds, they were looking basically to borrow $41 million, and that one failed by some 500 votes. And on it goes. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has the full database of the referendums that were out there, which ones were just to exceed spending limits, which ones were for bonds to do some construction, remodeling, and improvements. And overall, there was a slightly better than 50-50 record. Some of the totals still aren't in, but it appears that of the 80-plus referenda that are up there, a little more than 40 passed, a little more than 30 failed, but there are still some more that are yet to come in. But I want to share some of the ones that were decided by the closest of margins, just to, again, reaffirm how much power you have in your vote. Now, listen to these. I'm going to give you two that succeeded, two that failed, and listen to the margins in this. In Auburndale, this was just to exceed revenue limits by just $600,000 for each of the next 2 years. It failed on a vote of 775 to 754. In other words, it failed by just 21 votes. Meanwhile, in Spring Valley, they had something similar, exceed revenue caps by $500,000 for a three-year period. That failed, 781 to 772. Are you doing the math in your head quickly? 9 votes. All that work they did and talking to the public and everything else, if 10 more people had voted in support who didn't vote, would have shown up, then Spring Valley, the school board and school officials would be able to, do whatever it is that they said they were going to do with those extra funds. And instead they are not. They will probably be looking at whether there are things that have to be cut or repairs and modifications that can't be made, again, because of a 9-vote margin. In Waterloo, again, similarly, $600,000 to exceed the revenue caps over a 3-year period. That one did pass. It passed by only 43 votes. And then one more that passed, and this one is actually borrowing. Pecatonica, the school board there, asked about borrowing $18 million for projects. And that passed, but it passed with a vote of 625 to 611. Just 14 votes. That was the difference between success and failure. And that's not to pass judgment here on the merits of any one of these projects, because every one of them stands on their own. Every one of them, the school district has to make their case. In every one of these, you would hope that people opposed to it would make a case that's on something other than just, you know, our taxes are too high. Are they for what your school district needs? Let's talk about the issues behind what the school district is looking for. Make your case, and then let's let the votes turn out where they do. And when that's all said and done, in some of these school districts, 9 votes, 14 votes. That's the whole difference in some of these. And by the way, that goes statewide as well. When we're talking about statewide elections, I mean, it's rare that something's decided by just a literal handful of votes. I think of Al Franken's election to the U.S. Senate from Minnesota. I mean, it took months before he could take his seat there because it really did come down to just like a few dozen votes statewide. But the point I'm making here, and then we'll talk to Mark over in Prairie du Sac, is that 5 votes per precinct, 5 votes per voting precinct in Wisconsin has usually been the difference in some of these presidential elections in Wisconsin. So if just one or two other people bring a friend to the polls in each voting district, in each ward, in each precinct, that makes the difference in an election. And the question has to be asked, you know, what does that look like for Republicans a couple of years from now? Will they be able to start winning some of these statewide elections that they have predominantly been losing? They have lost the vast majority of the past, 20 statewide races. Can they do anything to turn that around, or are they imploding, because of their extremism? Mark in Prairie du Sac wants to weigh in on that. Mark, good morning.
Yeah, I think they are losing. Hopefully they'll be losing by their extremism. I mean, it's time to face these guys every time you see them, out in the street. And I'm not talking about harassing them, but ask them why they think it is okay to support an insurrection against the United States of America with the whole fake electors thing and defending Donald Trump's crimes, that it's almost shocking, but it really isn't, because these guys, it seems like they simply do not care about the rule of law. I mean, the law is supposed to mean something. It occurred to me that for the election that Dan Kelly was talking about being a conservative and establishing conservative principles, following the Constitution. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but a true conservative would actually look at the Constitution in terms of, say, for the gerrymander, and see that it actually says the districts are supposed to be contiguous and compact. That is what our Constitution says. If you truly believed in the Constitution, then you would actually adhere to that Constitution when you're establishing the voting districts. Of course, Republicans didn't, because they wanted to seize as much power as they can. I mean, it is. And talk about up north. I grew up in far northern Wisconsin, up in rural Douglas County, and that it is just shocking, almost jaw-dropping, and shocking sometimes how far they've gone off the rails, and that it is merely about power. I mean, the Constitution is supposed to mean something, and the disturbing trend where the U.S. Supreme Court will decide whether, well, state legislatures really don't have to follow the state constitution because, well, that's just not important. Well, it's just crazy. I mean, it is just the rule of law is supposed to mean something. And apparently to a lot of our Republicans, they simply don't believe in the rule of law. I mean, that they were willing to tolerate the fake electors thing, willing to tolerate the insurrection against the United States of America, willing to simply ignore both state and federal constitutions, because it's their oath to that office is an oath to the Constitution simply doesn't matter anymore.
Couldn't agree more, Mark. It's something that we've actually been saying in the state here since Scott Walker dropped the bomb, if you will, was that there's a difference between having a disagreement on the issues versus wanting to simply rule. And that's the thing. There are people who want to govern And there are people who want to rule. Mark, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. You meant when I mentioned Scott Walker, it reminded me. I mean, we talked about Dan Kelly being a sore loser. Scott Walker, who always puts up the what he puts up on Twitter, I swear he does it just to get mocked. I think he just enjoys it. And he talks about how young voters have been going for progressives because Republicans have to undo years of liberal indoctrination. No, they're voting against you because they're tired of watching their classmates get shot and killed, and they're tired of watching you be hostile toward democracy. Think about changing that. Think about governing rather than ruling. Maybe you'll start winning some elections. Back with Mark Jacob after this. You're up north.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
All right, we saved Jailhouse Rock for Donald Trump, even though he didn't spend any time behind bars yet. And we'll get to that, but believe it or not, the arrest and arraignment of a former president is not the top story that we're going to talk about with Mark Jacob, author, former Metro editor at the Chicago Tribune. We will talk about media coverage of Trump, but we're going to basically pick up where we left off with Carolyn Fiddler in our last hour, going state by state. I mean, it basically has been a state by state GOP horror show. And there's no way you can't start with Tennessee Republicans actually expelling two Democrats for the crime of protesting against gun violence. Mark, I know it's one thing to make noise that maybe will expel you or so upset with you, but you know it's a case of, and I'm sorry for the violent imagery, but they really did shoot the hostage. Did I lose you, Mark? I'm not hearing you. Uh-oh. If you need to pull those out, I was hearing you just fine a minute ago. Let's see. Oh, hang on. Oh, it says your mic is not connected here, and now you've frozen too. All right. Well, Mark's gonna work on that, and once I hear him talking and chattering, we'll put him back in. I'm gonna leave your camera on there, Mark, and hopefully we get to hear from you soon. I'll just go on to this other topic that I was going to bring up, and that is pushback on how the media is covering some of these things. We talked in our last hour about the Assembly Colleges and Universities Committee having this hearing yesterday, whining that conservative speakers were, getting a dose of free speech back at them for the things that they want to say and do. So there was this headline in the New York Times that says, Republicans face setbacks in their push to tighten voting laws on college campuses. Party officials across the country have sought to erect more barriers for young voters who tilt heavily Democratic after several cycles in which their turnout surged. Well, let's fix that. I think I hear you, Mark. Are you there?
Yeah, hi. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. These things happen. You probably heard me say it, and I know you've seen it too, where somebody fixed a New York Times headline. Instead of Republicans face setbacks and push to tighten voting laws, it's what it should say is Republicans push to take away voting rights on college campuses. Party officials across the country have sought to end rights for young voters. That's what it is. And I put this up asking, why is it so hard for newsrooms to tell a more complete, more accurate story about attacks on democracy? Is there seems to be a belief that fellow Americans couldn't possibly do such a thing. They need to get over that, because as we saw in Tennessee yesterday, as I was saying leading up to you, they actually did metaphorically shoot the hostage and expel these two Black Democratic members.
Yeah, they really do need to like say what's happening instead of kind of sanitizing what's going on the really radical right. One thing I wanted to point out that I observed in this whole Tennessee thing, and it goes with the other story you were just talking about, is that the wave of youth activism is really important in this country. And it's not a big shock why the Republican Party wants to keep young people from voting. It's because they're not voting for the Republican Party. And you see these two vibrant, active, engaged black men legislators in Tennessee, and what do they got to do? They got to knock them out. They got to kick them out of the legislature, even though they're, you know, they're certainly the minority party, and they're not going to, you know, do any harm to the Republican agenda. But they're a threat. They're a threat because they're inspirational, and you see this everywhere. You see it in Chicago. The reason that Brandon Johnson won was youth vote, was young people's vote. And so this is a threat. The Republicans see the trend and they don't like it. And so they have to keep, you know, college kids from voting or try to. And that's, to me, is a really important trend in what's going on now is youth activism.
Without a doubt. And honestly, they could not have given a better lesson in critical race theory. These folks who say they're so upset about CRT and teaching the whole concept of institutional racism, I don't think have the self-awareness to understand that they put three members up to expel. They expelled the two young black men, but they spared the white woman and that she's still there. I mean, what a lack of self-awareness about why critical race theory is being taught.
Pat, I was watching it on TV and I was like just appalled by what they were doing. And then the vote comes out, for Representative Johnson, Gloria Johnson. And I must be misunderstanding this. They can't be doing this. They're doing such an awful thing. And they decide, let's do an even awfuler thing. You know, we haven't made clear how racist we are. So let's be sure and make clear how racist we are.
And the comments when they were doing it was essentially, you know, you should know your place. And I'm not the first one. Plenty of other people have said the only thing their speeches were missing was the word boy, because it would have fit right in with what they were saying about, you know, you need to mind your manners and you need to just pass a bill, as if, you know, having a supermajority of Republicans, you know, them putting a bill in the hopper is going to change. No, it's why people protest. It's why we always have in this country to raise attention to when the institutions aren't getting things done right.
Right. And who do people relate to? Do they relate to these Tennessee Republicans, or do they relate to the Tennessee Three, who are appalled by the massacre of children? Appalled and wanting to do something. And the thing that struck me is that what's the one thing that Tennessee Republicans have done in reaction to the massacre at that Christian school? They have silenced black legislators. That was the big takeaway. That's the action that's going to really help stop gun violence.
Oh no, they have no interest in that. None. We have moved into, as I said last hour, we have moved in this country for a certain subset of the population into almost downright worship of assault weapons versus protecting and keeping safe our children. So that was Tennessee. We went last hour through all the other places, what's happening in North Carolina and Kansas and Idaho and Montana and you name it. But let's bring it back here for what was closer to home. We had elections in Wisconsin, of course. We had, you already mentioned there was an election for a Chicago mayor. So based on the progressive victories, both for the Chicago mayor's race and the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, tell me your thoughts on whether this can be a one and done situation, or if this is momentum that can be sustained into 2024 by progressives, by Gen Z and others.
Well, I think there are two big issues that are just killing Republicans because Republicans are totally on the losing side of what the American people think. That's abortion and that's guns. And those two issues are just, they're losers for the Republicans, and the Republicans can't get away from them because the coalition they built to get as far as they've gotten include gun worship and forcing women, you know, to have to deliver children whether they want to or not. So those are those two issues. Now, there are other issues in which, you know, it's not so obvious, and it's really important for Democrats to explain themselves on, like the crime issue. I mean, you saw it in Wisconsin. My observation being in Chicago on Wisconsin in the Mandela Barnes race was that they really unfairly, you know, labeled him as, you know, a cause of crime, somebody who's going to cause crime. And that's been a very effective issue for Republicans. But in Chicago, that didn't work because the black candidate in Chicago just was unabashedly saying, you know, the way we've been doing it, just kind of just throwing more cops at the problem is not going to do it. We're forcing police officers to be social workers when they're not. What we need to do is actually hire social workers to help people and to, you know, to diffuse bad situations that turn violent. And we need to, you know, find jobs for people and deal with people in the crime-ridden areas. I mean, just the systemic causes of crime instead of just, well, I'm going to hire a bunch more officers. And what you had in Chicago was an extremely radical police union. I mean, these people, they're really out of their minds, Pat. I got to tell you, they like, you know, the police union head was warning of blood in the streets if Brandon Johnson got elected. And I mean, really, that's a direct quote, blood in the streets. And so these are not good people. In fact, my view is that that Paul Vallis, the candidate who lost because he was associated with a police union. And so what Democrats need to do, in my opinion, to be successful on the crime issue is just paint it differently and not make it seem as if they're, you know, not let the Republicans say they're pro-crime, because that's absurd. They're not pro-crime. They're pro-finding other ways to deal with it than incarcerating an enormous amount of the population. And you know, I mean, that's the crime issue is something that we just got to look at as grown-ups. We can't look at it as, you know, let's just throw everyone in jail forever. That doesn't solve it.
Well, but unfortunately, it worked against Mandela Barnes, and it worked on the two constitutional amendments that were before voters this week because of the way that they were framed. And people were saying Wednesday and Thursday, well, why didn't Democrats do more to message that these constitutional amendments simply expand cash bail? They don't actually solve anything. And my response would be priorities. And really, mm-hmm. you had to put all the chips in the center for Janet Protasiewicz and the right. race, because that. Other things will follow from that, and maybe other people should have messaged, you know, those constitutional amendments. But that's, again, that's just Monday morning quarterbacking. Well, go ahead.
I was just curious about the Protasiewicz thing. Is the impeachment talk? Is that just talk, or is it just talk?
And I will acknowledge being somebody who kind of fanned those flames these past couple of days, simply because I have trust issues with Wisconsin Republicans. You now have the Republican legislative leadership saying, oh, we wouldn't do that. But there was also plenty of other things they said they wouldn't do, and then they went ahead and did it. So while I don't take them, you know, I don't take them at face value, I also don't think the odds are very high that they will do that. It's just that the odds aren't zero. And that's a sad commentary on what they're like. Before we get to Trump, I only got 3 minutes here, but I'm going to try to get two things in. Clarence Thomas, failure to disclose free flights on a billionaire jet, island hopping vacations from a billionaire super donor. ProPublica, God bless them for doing all the investigative work to get there. But where do we go from here on a story like that, besides mainstream media, you know, spreading the word about, you know, the hint of corruption behind all this?
Right. Well, what you get is, and the funny thing is, you get John Roberts saying, well, this is, why are people like besmirching the court? Why, you know, why is it they're not being, you know, we're just doing our job and all this other crap. I mean, John Roberts has presided over a court that's regard for the court has just plummeted. And that's part of the reason of this kind of corruption. I mean, and Pat, Clarence Thomas, you know, like getting all this free stuff without disclosing it is a real problem. This was also giving a bunch of right-wing influencers access to him on these vacations. He was being lobbied by these people. Not that he'd be lobbied much, because he's pretty much a right-wing radical. But
the principle is still there.
Yes, for sure it's still there. And the thing about it is, even under the extremely lax rules, he still violated the law. He still didn't disclose what he was supposed to disclose. He's allowed to take all that crap because ethics don't exist in the U.S. Supreme Court. But he was supposed to disclose it under the law and did not. It's shocking. And so people should be shocked.
So we left ourselves 30 seconds, and I think adequately so. We said this in the commercial break beforehand. Let's not give Donald Trump all the oxygen. This was, as you put, one step in the process of holding him accountable.
Sure, yeah. Let's let it go. Pence is going to have to testify now in the other case. There's a lot going on, and it's all going in the right direction. It's going into the accountability for Donald Trump as a career criminal.
There will still be plenty of breathless coverage, but it doesn't have to be for the, you know, 3 days afterwards. It's, you know, again, perspective, right?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Mark Jacob, thank you so much. We'll do it again next week. Right. Have a great weekend.
Talk to you later.
All right. See ya. Dan Schumacher is going to join us in just a bit here. We're going to talk about sports coming up this weekend, a little bit about the Brewers and the Bucks, and just whatever else we feel like talking about. Because, you know, when you get to talk to a friend, you start with sports, but Lord only knows where you wander from there. So, again, our congratulations to the folks who got tickets for the Brewers games this weekend. That was fun. We should do that again next week. I'm betting we just might. More after this. You're up north. What do we got for Grateful Dead? Oh, look, he's singing along already. Dan Schumacher joins us. He told Aaron just to pick any random song. What did he pick? Play name that tune.
Ask Aaron. What'd you pick, Aaron?
This is Dire Wolf.
Dire Wolf.
Okay.
Yep. It's an old folk song. It's an old country back in the day. I think some famous country person wrote it. And then the Dead took their own version and made it of it. So like a lot of songs the Dead have done.
Well,
their own version of it.
So I'm guessing that's early 70s?
I would say this was Dire Wolf came out in the late 60s, early 70s.
Sure. So I just think of the Eagles and other bands. I mean, it was, you know, country rock is essentially what that era. I mean, the Eagles were essentially a country rock band.
Yep, they were.
I remember working for WBKV in West Bend, and they were one of the last, you know, beautiful music stations on the FM dial. And they decided to go with a mix of country and rock. Country rock hadn't completely, you know, faded away as a format, and called themselves, I think it was Country Rock 92 WBKV. And boy, some people were just up in arms about that. Like, there's no such thing as country rock. I'm like, yeah, there is. I don't know if I can build a whole radio station around
it. Yeah, you can't build a whole genre over it, but you can, you know that they do cross. Everybody crosses over.
Yeah, very much so.
You know.
All right, the big sports stories we've covered already. Brewers were off yesterday, 3-game series against the Cardinals. Nice Central Division battle. Brewers have won 5 in a row since losing the opener to the Cubs. In fact, I believe that's what we talked about last week, was they'd only played the first game, and Dan already had the Cubs going 162-0. I don't think it's worked out that way since.
No, they're 2-3 compared to them 5-1 Brewers right now. So, yeah, the Brewers are leading the league. Like I said before, the Bucks are leading the league. It's good time to be a Wisconsin fan.
Yeah, and especially if you're still listening to Bob Uecker. How old is he now?
I'm telling you, man, I was
89.
I was listening in the car, going from one appointment in town back to campus, and I was listening to the Brewers, and the guy hits the walk off home run.
I think we got that. That would be Garrett Mitchell if that's the clip I'm thinking of. Let's listen, Aaron.
And the pitch. Hit in the air to right and deep. Get up! Get up! Get out of here! Gone for Garrett Mitchell! Hit a walk-off out of air! And the Brewers have swept the New York Mets!
Listen to that guy.
He's 89.
89 and that much energy.
Yes, it's all natural. It's all natural with him.
Oh yeah, of course it is. And oh my gosh, that's amazing. Because Garrett Mitchell, I would just like to state for the record, when I caught his opening game when they brought him up to the show back in August, and I just said, I think this kid is the real thing. I think he's look, Yelich is basically a strikeout king for this first part of the season here, and I think Garrett Mitchell is the future for the franchise.
Is he Wisconsinite though? Isn't Mitchell from Wisconsin?
I don't know where he's from. His parents must be nearby because, that was Bryce Terang. His parent. Did you see his parents when Terang hit his first home run earlier in the week? That's why when you mentioned home run calls from Uecker, my first thought was Terang, because, you know, I heard him call that one, and you know, again, the camera cuts away, and you know, his parents, who are either your age or a little bit younger than us, and just to see the joy that they had.
Oh, sure.
In that. Baseball will still do that for you. It's awfully nice.
Euchre's still the best. I mean, I'm a Chicago fan, but I could listen to Euchre call a game any day.
Garrett Mitchell's from California. Aaron has looked it up. So, right. But yeah, well, you know, you get people from there now and then. Aaron Rodgers. Oh, please, Garrett Mitchell, don't let that happen to you. stay true to your new Midwestern roots, okay? The Milwaukee Bucks wrap up the regular season. They're home tonight against the Memphis Grizzlies. They're probably going to rest all the starters. And so I know Kristen Lyerly was going to the game and some others. Don't be disappointed. Just enjoy the atmosphere. Then there's a game, I think, did I say in Toronto on Sunday? And then the playoffs from there. So probably next week we'll start talking about, you know, playoff matchups and how the Bucks are looking, but number one record in all the league. So there's going to be a few games down there at the Fiserv Forum.
It is kind of wild that pro basketball goes all the way. I mean, they don't finish the season with the championship till June.
I know.
It's just an overly long season.
Oh, basketball and hockey, they both get to the end there and you don't want to stand and watch it because it's so nice outside.
Yeah,
you
know? Right. I don't get that.
It still makes money. And speaking of hockey, the Frozen Four is going on for the NCAAs. Your winners competing for the national title tomorrow will be the Minnesota Golden Gophers going up against Quinnipiac. Gophers were winners yesterday. Who did the Gophers beat? I forget now. I'm busy looking at Quinnipiac beating Michigan. And beat them handily, 5-2. So Quinnipiac will play against the Gophers for the national title. And
you know, they used to be a Division II school. They didn't they just fully elevated to Division I, I want to say 6-7 years ago, that school. So that's a big home run for that school going to the Frozen Four.
Aaron, we got something else for you to look up here. And by the way, why are they making the Frozen Four? Why are they making them play in Tampa Bay, the hotbed of hockey?
Yeah, right.
I mean, I get that it's a nice trip if you get to go down there, but I mean, sorry. Look, I have an amazing son-in-law who works for the Western Michigan hockey team. Western Michigan had a hell of a year. They made it to the first round of the NCAA tournament, and then were defeated by a higher seed team, by a better team, higher ranked. But they still had this great season. Well, my son-in-law and daughter got here late last night during the game with Quinnipiac, and he's watching because of course you're going to watch. But you know, you could see the look like, that should be us there.
No kidding.
You know, you've seen that. You've had to watch when the Blue Golds get eliminated, but you go on and watch it anyway. And
that's exactly right.
Kind of a mixed blessing. So, so now we're learning from Aaron that Quinnipiac is in Connecticut.
I thought it would be in Canada or something.
I don't think they could do the NCAAs then. I think there's a rule about that.
No, there's NCAA schools in Canada.
What?
Yeah, there is. There is, and I forget which one. It's over on the West Coast.
Aaron, more research for you. Yeah. Aaron's like, what am I, the librarian over here? But
There's one or two in Canada that are NCAA affiliated.
There's at least Simon Fraser Red Leafs.
There it is, Simon Fraser.
This is amazing. Stuff I learn here. Okay. Yes. Well, now, okay, great. Now we know. From the WIAC level, Dan speaking from the athletic department at UW-Eau Claire, next week appears to be makeup week.
It will be. We this past 2 weeks of weather with the rain, the snow, the cold, like I said to you, we're off air. It reminds me of 2013, what a winter that was for everybody in the Midwest. I mean, we didn't get it. I was at Chicago State at the time. We didn't get any home games in at all. We had to go south because the weather and the ice and the thaw was not happening quick enough coming out of the ground. So we had all of our sports last week rescheduled. We had so many home events last week. They've all been moved to this week we're on the road. Like baseball decided to get the games in. We could go to Oshkosh and play on artificial turf.
You become a master of logistics. And so good luck with all of that next week, Dan. Happy Easter. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, see you soon, Pat.
All right, take it easy. All right, that'll do it for us here. Coming up on Monday, we'll talk to the folks from Motherhood for Good. Happy Easter. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you Monday.